Welcome to HalfGuarded.com's Power Hour, starring me, Zachary Turtle Gilbert, and my co-host, Dan Friggy Ford.
Was that Friggy or Freaky?
Friggy.
Okay, because I thought maybe Lindsay Lohan and the lady who was in Halloween
going to switch bodies. Jamie Lee Curtis.
Jamie Lee Curtis.
Yeah, she sells that yogurt.
She has the sexiest digestive tract in the business.
That's what she wants. Pretty big week in college football to kick us off here.
Momentous.
Not to look ahead, but it's pretty exciting looking ahead to Saturday. Louisville Clemson. I mean, that could decide the national championship right there.
That's the game of the week of the century of the decade.
Yeah, the biggest game since, Alabama-LSU from last year.
That game wasn't that big, was it?
Was it not? What was the big... I forgot what our fake game of the century was last year. But yeah, look ahead. Some big college football weekend, though, we just went through here. We saw the end of an era in LSU. We saw FSU bounce back. And we saw Tennessee for the first time in over a decade beat Florida.
Yeah. We got the full Tennessee experience, too, this weekend. Like, they were ass for a half, and then they suddenly became awesome.
Yeah.
And could not be stopped. And then you just spent that whole game going, why the fuck can't you guys play for four quarters? Like, what? What is y'all's deal?
Well, I thought they kind of changed the play calling in that game. Like, what I kind of saw from the stadium, like, they started attacking deeper and taking advantage of their wide receivers.
I just don't know why it takes them a half of a game to figure things out like that.
Well, because they're poorly coached.
Well, mean nothing to that.
Yeah. They have a great recruiter, but a horrible, horrible coach.
Yeah, he's got a case of the ruggles. But you got to give it to him. They are the tallest midget in the SEC. East.
Are they though? Because yeah. they have a game this week, and we'll talk about that a little bit later.
Well, okay, yeah, that's the thing is that don't necessarily mean they're going to win the SEC East, but I am now convinced that they are the best team in that division.
Yeah,
they might not win it because they got to go play, you know, Alabama and Texas A&M, and I got a feeling they're going to get their ass whipped by both of them.
Yeah. But we had another really confusing game. In Auburn. Kind of a crazy ending there.
There was fire at the end of it, too.
Yeah.
Shit caught fire. Like, people got fired. Trees got set on fire.
Oh, and I do want to say a second.
Nobody knew who won the game. Like, people in the stadium were just walking around going, I don't know what the fuck happened.
I think there were three missed calls on that last play.
Yeah. It was a loser-leave-town match. Like, loser gets fired.
It was crazy. It was your typical Auburn win, though. If you're an Auburn fan, you're kind of used to wins like this, like just improbable. I don't know how we won.
Well, LSU fans are used to it too. This is like the Les Miles signature of like, doesn't manage the clock well. Everything turns into a Chinese fire drill. You get away with like breaking five rules on the last play, and then you throw a touchdown.
Yeah.
It just this time they didn't get away with it.
No, and the luck ran out for Les because he is fired. He's gone. Him and Cam
F-I-R-E-D.
Cameron.
F-I-R-E-D.
Gone.
I want to say that like Les Miles got fired, but Cam Cameron got super fired as offensive coordinator. Like, they probably went in and said, all right, Les, that's it. You know, that's the end of it. When they went to Cam Cameron, they were like, get the fuck out of here. You just go, you don't even get on the bus. Just fucking walk. You walk home.
But what kind of led to Les getting fired? What was it? I mean, just the not evolving on offense, kind of like Saban's done by bringing in Kiffin? Was it just, time?
The most basic reason is his offense just did not change at all and never got any better. And, you know, I would say the biggest issue is that he put loyalty to a colleague who he's known for 30 years. I mean, they both coached on Bo Schembechler's Michigan together. He put that ahead of how is my team performing and is this guy really getting the job done? Which is not a thing Nick Saban would ever do, ever.
No.
Like, Nick Saban would cut his mama if it meant we, you know, winning by, you know, he would win by 27 instead of 30.
So would Urban Meyer. Yeah. So would a lot of coaches.
Yeah, Jim Harbaugh, like, there's a lot of guys, like, Jim Harbaugh, if Jim Harbaugh's son starts doing a, or John Harbaugh, his nephew, Jim's nephew, if that guy starts doing a bad job coaching tight ends, he will fire his nephew and not think twice.
And then, like, smile at him during Thanksgiving Day.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't.
And then take his shirt off to show how dominant he is.
And drink some milk.
Like, Les Miles, though, stood, you know, stood with his friend Cam Cameron. He stood with a guy he had loyalty to. And, you know, the people talk about what LSU should have done. Should they have gone spread? I think at this point in the game, if you, I think it's a major mistake to continue looking at the spread offense as if it's like a panacea for whatever ails your offense. Like, it's 2016. Just spreading the field and going no huddle is not going to make you a great offense. It's not going to give you some huge advantage.
But incorporating elements from the spread would have really helped LSU out, especially with more outside running. And just it seemed like LSU just ran ISO every play half the time.
I mean, that's the fun. I don't think they had to go away from having beef on the field and having big boys. But you look at the teams that have success doing that. You look at my boy Matt Canada over at Pitt. You look at what Wisconsin does when they've been good. You know, their offense is sort of sputtered last year, but you look at what Arkansas has done with Bielema there. Their offense is, yeah, they have a lot of beef on the field, but they use a lot of motion. They shift a lot. They try to get you sort of messed up with where guys are aligned pre-snap, so you're not just like, okay, these guys are going to run through this gap on this play. Like, and they run zone. Like, very few people, I mean, people still have ISO for short yardage stuff, and they'll still run it for like a, you know, to get you off balance when they do the ISO stuff, or the inside zone or the outside zone, because it's easy to teach. Hey, go hit a guy. It's not like you gotta spend a lot of time on practice on it. But when that's your, like, base play, and that's all you run, man, it's pretty hard to have success in 2016. That's rough. You gotta have something else. You gotta be a little bit more complicated than that. And the biggest place they failed, though, is just the complete inability to get a passing game going. It's just, they're still running out there running like 1980s Don Coryell routes. And it's like, hey, we're gonna run like four routes. We're gonna run a deep in, we're gonna run a post, we're gonna run an out, and we're gonna run a comeback. And that's it. And it's just like, man, You got to be better than that. You got to do more than that. And their quarterbacks have been terrible. They've been completely ineffective at developing quarterback play there. And, you know, when you're looking up and you've averaged fewer passing yards than service academies, like, it's something's up. Something's got to change. And Les just refused to change.
The development of quarterbacks, like, really, how many decent, like, above-average quarterbacks has LSU even had? Like, two? And one of them was a transfer.
Yeah, Mettenberger transferred from Georgia. Golly. I guess you could say Jamarcus Russell was above average.
I was going to go back that far. Matty Mock of
Matty Mock. Wait, Matty Mock was Missouri.
Was
I don't
brother?
Know who that. I don't know.
No.
Matt Flynn.
Yeah. He was.
Matt Flynn was definitely an LSU quarterback.
Won a national championship, but like went to dentistry school after he like went to the NFL for 1 year. Like he didn't even plan to go.
That might have been an Alabama. Right. That might have been one of Saban's.
Yeah,
because I'm pretty sure Matt Flynn was the quarterback for the Les Miles team.
Yeah.
But even then, that's when he still had Jimbo there. And, I mean, Jimbo's obviously a very good quarterbacks coach. So, like, since Jimbo moved on, and Jimbo's a guy he inherited from Saban, you know, once Jimbo moved on to Florida State, you know, to become their head coach in waiting, I mean, they have been very bad at developing a quarterback. And they were able to have that season in, you know, in 2011 where it didn't matter. You know, they had no quarterback, but they still ran the ball all over everybody and had that hellacious defense. The other thing is losing Chavis. because when LSU lost John Chavis as defensive coordinator, before, when they had Chavis, you could count on LSU is going to have a dominant defense, and they're going to be able to run the ball. Yeah, they can't pass, but by God, you can't score, and they're going to run. Yeah, once they lost Chavis, they suddenly became a team where it's like, well, they got an okay defense, but not great. And you just can't win that way without, unless you completely stop teams over and over and over again, you cannot win without a passing game, unless you can run the ball much better. I mean, unless you're like an option team where you can run the ball for 500 yards.
A favorite, I think everybody will fall. Football's going to take over. But who are you looking at? Who's the favorite to be the next LSU coach?
Obviously, the guy they're going to want, the guy who's going to be number one on their list is going to be Jimbo.
I'd rather be at FSU.
Last year.
Yeah.
They're going to do it again. No, I think that's an I think that's an unrealistic. I mean, I think Jimbo, Florida State's a better job because it's in the ACC. You're not playing Alabama every
Tallahassee.
Year.
Tallahassee, yeah.
You're not playing Nick Saban. Yeah. You know,
and that's even counting. Besides,
you're the number
the
one
Dolphins
football program in the state of Florida.
You're
the number one football
the
program in the state of Florida, recruiting
team,
wise.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, you're the number one most popular football team in the state, counting the NFL. Right now. I mean, obviously that tends to shift a lot. But Florida State is the best job. In my mind, it is a top three job because of the ACC. And the ACC might make it a harder job. You know, who knows? If Miami starts becoming very good, Clemson is able to keep this going, keep this going, Virginia Tech gets good, maybe that Florida State job, I stop looking at it, is so dominant. But I look at Florida State, and it's like, man, if you're running Florida State at full tilt, if you're running it the way you
Jimbo's
should be running
got a lot
it,
of leeway at
there's
State.
Nobody in your conference who's on the same level as
he's
you recruiting.
Kind of cemented in there as long as he wants.
You know, other than Clemson. Right. That's the other thing. I always have a very difficult time believing that a coach who's won a national championship at a place is going to leave for another job.
Yeah, he
I mean,
sick.
Obviously there's Urban Meyer, but that guy took a year off. It was a little bit of a different situation. And Nick Saban broke his heart, you know, whatever. Made his ass quit. Whatever way you want to phrase that, but you just don't see college coaches with a title ring go to a different college one-to-one. I could see Jimbo. To me, if Jimbo leaves, it's going to be
for
the NFL.
Who's your
Some
favorite?
NFL team is going to hire that guy at some point. Sooner or later. But is LSU... Yeah. The guy... I mean, and this guy is
I'm
like... If Jimbo's
sure
1A, this guy's 1B, and that's Tom Herman.
I think he's waiting on Texas.
Who seems more gettable?
Because of... Yeah.
I don't... It depends on how this Big 12 stuff goes. If Houston gets into the Big 12, that's a game changer. And obviously, the big difference between Houston and other mid-majors, Houston has serious money. They have serious donors. They've got oil money at that school. People do not realize that the University of Houston has a bigger endowment than a lot of schools that you've heard of in major conferences.
And he's put a...
They've got more people donating
to
that school than a lot of schools in the ACC.
Like,
let me put it to you that way.
Yeah.
He's done a very good, I mean, for a guy who's coaching at a mid-major school, he has done an excellent job recruiting local Houston talent. If Houston ever becomes a Big 12 school,
we'll
I think that is
that
a,
so
that is
like
a
the,
superpower
who's
in the
making. Who's the safest pick?
If he can get it there.
Mm-hmm. But I don't think they get
But if I'm LSU, yeah. if I'm LSU, Herman's the guy I want first and foremost. Because he's younger. He's younger than Jimbo. You don't have to worry about him jumping to the NFL anytime soon. And Houston's a big city recruiting-wise. He's in the same region. He's not going too far away from where you already know he's been able to recruit. And Nick Saban's a 60-some-year-old guy. Herman, I think, is in his late 30s, early 40s. Nick Saban ain't going to be around forever. You're going to have the young guy who's going to be able, who is in the best case to take that conference over once Saban's gone. So to me, he's the guy you should do everything in your power to get. You may not get him.
And Jimbo's like a dark horse.
But
like,
he's
like
the guy you should put the most effort behind if you're LSU.
That's what I'll, yeah.
Fedora. Larry Fedora. Larry Fedora is the guy if you strike out on all the guys you really want. Because I can tell you this, if they go to Fedora, he will crawl over 50 good pussies just to get to that job.
I like Lane Kiffin to go to LSU and be the head coach next year. That's what they'll do. Yes.
I think that would be the stupidest hire they could make that's still realistically possible.
And with Sandusky as DC.
Art Briles, well, this brings up an interesting quandary. Because Art Briles is in every way a better football coach than Lane Miles, but he's also a monster. So, what's the worst coaching decision? The imbecile who's a butthorn? Like, it's not like Lane Kiffin's going to come in and be like Mike Riley and give everybody hamburgers and be a really nice guy. Like, Lane Kiffin is going to be a dipshit who can't talk to any human being. And he's not going to do a very good job of coaching your team. But Art Briles is a monster person.
Who's what really about good the dream at coaching team? Football.
So I don't
Art Briles head coach,
that's
good, Kiffin to me, OC.
That's a difficult
Sandusky
decision.
Sandusky is defensive coordinator from the prison cell. Ooh, yeah.
Look, now that'd be a nasty team if you get Art Briles with Jerry Sandusky coaching.
That's going to be a difficult team to defend,
too. That is going to be very difficult to defend. That's going to be... It'll be a difficult team to beat.
Yeah. That would be one offensive. But where do we like...
Man,
they
are pretty offensive, that team. I think so, because... One, Les is not some workaholic. I don't think he's a guy who's going to be like, I got to get back out there coaching football because that's my whole life. I think he genuinely likes being around his wife. I think he genuinely likes being around his children. I think he's got some grandkids at this point. I think he likes that stuff. So I don't think he's going to be in like, well, I got to get another job. Up two, they're going to be paying him a ton of money. So it's not like he needs the money. And three, yeah. I think he's a guy who's... Everything about Les Miles seems... That guy belongs on TV. Because the thing about Les is because he's had these years of decline, there is no job in America that's anywhere close to the job he's had that is going to hire him. If Les wants to coach badly enough...
I have a weird idea for Les.
Yeah, I mean, he could go take the Kentucky job. They'd probably give it to him.
What about Georgia Tech?
You know, he could take the I mean, the Vanderbilt job will be there.
You don't think they take
Les? But I don't know if that's the kind of... Georgia Tech, I don't think, would want him.
Which they will, yeah.
Because I think Georgia Tech's going to want some guy from Stanford if they fire Paul Johnson. They're going to want somebody...
He's doing like that.
They're
going to
want some... Well, I don't think they're going to fire Paul Johnson.
It's like the ACC version.
Well, the thing is that Georgia Tech is just not serious about football in the way that they're going to fire a guy with a huge buyout. And he's just got too many years on his contract. Like, they're going to give him more years to try to get this situated until his buyout's closer to being up. In Les Miles' case, I don't think they'd ever hire a guy who's got a track record of recruiting academic so-so players. If when Georgia Tech moves away from Paul Johnson, they're going to try to hire somebody from the Jim Harbaugh coaching tree. Because that is a school that people don't even know the academic requirements at Georgia Tech as far as what they make athletes take. Not just regular students. The athletes have to take math classes that I would have failed. They make the athletes take them. So it's not, people go, oh, it's in Atlanta. That should be an easy job.
Georgia Tech State
is a really difficult job.
It's a
unique job.
Now, obviously the competition's different, but...
What we have seen, though, is if you're a really good coach and you take over a mid-major and you really know what the fuck you're doing, you can win. It doesn't matter what the mid-major is, because if you're a great coach and you take that mid-major over, you can build something there quickly. Because there's just, if you're a great coach, you can beat that talent. You know, you can get the talent in, you can do what you got to do. So I see what you mean there, and it's looking like, you know, looking at how quickly Houston got good, man, would you rather be Houston and you're having to compete against Cincinnati and SMU, or would you rather be in the position West Virginia's in,
like Atlanta,
where you're having to compete with Texas and Oklahoma?
It's more so for Georgia State now. And as that program builds, they could overtake Tech in 10 years.
Yeah.
10 years is a long time.
They can't, I don't know if they can. I don't know. I'd have to see them doing it more. Because the thing Georgia State's always got going against them is that Georgia Southern may not be in Atlanta, but Georgia Southern has way more football history and way more football track record. But it does, because when you're talking to a kid and it's like, do you want to go play in front of an empty stadium in Atlanta where nobody gives a shit about you or knows your name?
Do you want to go hang around? Or do you want to go be a god in a urban environment? Or do you want to go be around a bunch of racists
from where your parents
in the middle of nowhere? Yeah.
But see, I think football players, a lot of times they're gonna want to be in an environment where everybody kisses their ass. Not necessarily like, I'm a black guy living in Statesboro, because when you're a football player, you're not just a black guy in Statesboro anymore.
Some people I've talked to have always been kind of like, I'd rather stay in Atlanta than go to Statesboro if I could. But moving on, though, there was another firing.
But I would say that's true but I don't think Georgia State's able to do that yet. They'd have to be, they've got to be able to consistently beat Georgia Southern before they can play.
But
that.
We had another firing.
They've got
Ryan
to vanquish
Van Gorder,
Georgia
last week's
Southern
fuck you
first.
Of the week. Fired.
Okay.
So, this is a topic I kind of wanted to talk more about this
prescient
week. But let me know, Les Miles got fired, and we had to spend some time on that. But how do you fix Notre Dame? If you're Brian Kelly,
Notre Dame is another job, and it's not quite as hard as Georgia Tech in the sense of academics. But your academics are a real thing there. And the other thing that makes Notre Dame a lot harder job than Georgia Tech is that it has the largest fan base in college football. And I would say it has the highest percentage of people who don't really follow college football all that closely. So they don't actually know how hard it is to win national championships year in and year out. They just assume Notre Dame should because they're Notre Dame. So you have an intense amount of pressure, and you have academic restrictions. I mean, Brian Kelly has had so many issues with recruiting top players. He gets them on campus, and then they can't meet they end up failing out. I don't think there's another program in America that's had more academic, attrition than Notre Dame. You know, where they just take these 4- and 5-star players and the guys just can't, they just don't have the grades to stay. Their defensive recruiting has nosedived. They do not have the talent on the defensive side of the ball. And the shift in philosophy, you know, Brian Van Gorder is sort of known as a blitz happy guy. He wants to bring pressure. That's fine and dandy if you're at Georgia and you've got, you know, Georgia recruits. That's fine and dandy when you're at Auburn and you got Auburn recruits. It's fine and dandy when you're in the NFL and you got NFL players. When you're at Notre Dame
and
your best players talent wise are on offense,
it
becomes problematic
because they're not getting pushed around.
You know,
and moved into the holes you're blitzing it.
Yeah. I mean, he had a diametrically opposite philosophy from their previous defensive coordinator, Bob Diaco, who's now the head coach at UConn and was the defensive coordinator when they went to the national championship game. Bob Diaco had a very conservative defense that almost never blitzed. And it was very much a keep everything in front of you. You know, execute, tack, get to the ball, break
kind
on the
bend,
ball.
But not break.
Don't let anything get deep. Keep everything in front of you. Stop the run. Yeah.
And
but
so you would
know,
you say that loss is
bend but don't break. Bend but don't break, definitely. And they were one of the best defenses in the country at not breaking. Because this is a stat that's been repeated by a lot of people, but Brian Van Gorder's defense gave up more plays of over 60 yards this season than Bob Diaco did in 4 years at Notre Dame.
Is like really hurt Notre Dame?
That'll get you fired. Yeah, Bob Diaco has been one of the biggest assistant coaches. No team I think has struggled more on the upper end of college football trying to replace a coordinator than Notre Dame losing Bob Diaco. Because Notre Dame now look with Bob Diaco was the first time in Brian Kelly's career he's coached a team that had a good defense. Because at Cincinnati, his teams won. You know, his teams were winning fast break games. They were like the old school Steve Nash Sons of football. They go win games like 56-49 or, you know, stuff like that. And at Notre Dame, his teams actually had the ability to play defense. Notre Dame's got a lot of problems, though. It's not just the defense. The defense is hellaciously bad. Brian Van Gorder should have been fired. But we're now getting into a bunch of years now where Brian Kelly's teams cannot run the ball. And you almost look at it and go, man, if they could run the ball a little bit, maybe that defense, you know, wouldn't be on the field as much. He's also done weird things. The whole quarterback controversy, going back and forth with his quarterbacks when one of them's way better than the other one. That's weird. They've got issues. And here's the other, here's the bigger problem for Brian Kelly. Notre Dame fans want him set on fire. They do not like that man. Now, I will sit here and say that's not totally fair because he's gotten them better results than any other Notre Dame coach since Lou Holtz. Brian Kelly's act is
why would you if you're a fan? Mm-hmm.
A lot Made of Notre Dame fans guy? Do not like the Notre screaming. Dame? They do not like the purple-faced yelling. No, they want a guy, they want a warrior poet. Like the ideal Notre Dame coach is like the stoic, you know, steely-eyed, look upon the field and being master of all you survey, you know.
Does such a coach
exist? They don't want the guy who's constantly cursing in purple face. They want Pete Carroll, I guess. They want a guy who's like calm under fire.
Wouldn't it?
They want Mark Richt.
If Mark,
yeah, that's what that would be the perfect Notre Dame coach for Notre Dame fans is Mark Richt. A good Christian man, not the right kind of Christian, but a good Christian man.
You make Mark Richt's parents Catholic. Mark Richt can probably win at Notre Dame. Maybe not national championships, but he can probably please the fan base.
Yes. And you speak of not being a national championship contender. I think the other thing is it's becoming increasingly clear that being an independent is way too hard a road to hoe when you're real. If you're out there to win national championship, being an independent makes the road way more difficult. Because I think when as college football changed, right? Like there was a period in the middle when everybody consolidated to conferences. The history of college football is we had a ton of independents until about 1992. 1991, 1992 is when all the independents started joining conferences and Notre Dame was like the last independent. But before them, we had a ton of independents. But since that consolidation happened and Florida State joined a conference, Miami joined a conference, Pitt, Penn State, they all joined conferences. Since all that happened, you know, Notre Dame has been, has had a dip in quality compared to where they used to be. And I think for a while people thought it was a coincidence, but the further we go on, and definitely I think what sealed the deal for me is Brian Kelly is a good coach. I know he's a good coach, and he's had issues there. So it just leads me to think when you don't have a conference title to play for, and you have, you know, you have a game like Texas where it was a game you should have won. You had a chance to win it. You didn't win it. I think it just takes a lot out of your team not having anything else to play for, where it's like, oh shit, we're kind of out of the national championship race now because we got this loss in week one and Texas might not be all that good. But if you still had a conference title to play for where you could go, all right, men, let's rally around. We can still beat, you know, we can still beat Miami. We can still beat Carolina. We can still beat, you know, Pitt. We can still beat this team and that team and still be there at the end of the year. I think it puts an incredible amount of pressure on your team and on your coaching staff to find other ways to motivate.
This year in a weird way. Like, you're kind of your biggest game of the year on the schedule. And you blew it.
Yeah, I mean the thing about being an independent, it's either you go undefeated and put yourself in a chance to win the national title, or you don't get anything. Especially now, because in 30 years ago, 20 years ago, when independents were, when there was a lot of them, if you won 10 games in a bowl game, everybody was happy. Because when you won a bowl game, it was a big deal. Now, winning a bowl game really doesn't mean anything if it's not, if you're not in the national championship discussion. Like, nobody goes, oh man, we won the Orange Bowl this year. Did you play for a national championship? Nah, we didn't quite make the cut, but we won the Orange Bowl. Fans don't give a shit. I don't think the players care in the same way as they used to in other eras. And if you're not in a position to play for, I think the conference championship means more than the bowl game now. And because Notre Dame's not in a conference, they just don't have access to that. Bronco Mendenhall talked about it as one of his reasons for wanting to leave BYU to go coach at Virginia, because BYU has recently joined the independent thing. And he said it was very difficult to keep your team motivated without a conference championship to keep them, you know, to play for. If you lose a game here or there and you don't have, and especially with BYU, you don't have the same chance at playing for a national championship that Notre Dame has. And, well, you know, once you lose a game, it's like, well, that's it. We're definitely not playing for a national championship because we're BYU. Yeah.
Well, and there's some weird hurdles with being an independent.
Well, I guess the Utah game.
When you're in a conference, well,
that's about it.
Okay, we have to play Wake Forest or in the ACC. If you're an independent, it's like, oh, you scheduled Wake Forest? What is this? You're kind of, unfairly.
Yes. People hold... Notre Dame gets stuff held against, and Notre Dame's scheduling is way more difficult than any team in a conference. Because for one, it's one thing to play Wake Forest every year. It's another when you play Wake Forest, like, and now they're in this quasi-conferencing, so maybe I shouldn't pick Wake Forest. It's one thing to play UConn if they're in your conference. Because you see them every year, there's nothing they're going to do that's going to be tricky. When you're playing them, like, once in 10 years, and you've never seen them before, and they know this is like their Super Bowl because this is the one time anybody's going to pay attention to them, that gets tricky. It gets tricky when you're a coaching staff and you've got to schedule 12 different teams every year. And obviously they don't have to do that. They got USC. They know they're going to play Navy. They know they're going to play USC. They know they're going to play Stanford. But that's only three teams every year that they know they're going to play.
So is there any coach in the nation?
That's tough for a coaching staff. It wears on you. And Notre Dame is one of two schools in the whole in all of college football that does not play FCS teams. It's just them and USC. So they don't get to go play Jacksonville State. They don't get to go play, you know, the team that just dropped State McNeese off their school?
Murray?
Georgia struggled
McMillan
with them.
McMillan and Son. State.
not McNeese. Yeah. Murray State, McMillan and Sun State. Like, they don't get to go play that team.
Why?
Because they're just not, like, their school will not schedule FCS.
McNally.
Rand
McNally.
What about McRand? Didn't they make Atlases?
Want to go. Yeah.
That was Rand McNally.
What? Is there a coach?
Rand McNally Tech.
Like, go to Notre Dame and make this work? Or is it impossible?
I mean, Notre Dame's just, I think Notre Dame is the hardest job in the country. Yeah. That's still a good job. Because obviously there's harder jobs like Iowa State. Like, good luck, man. You know, Wake Forest, good luck.
Yeah. South Carolina.
But, you know, Rutgers, good Dylan luck, Southern. Brother. You know, you're going to need it.
Well, but we'll see after Muschamp's done with it. But
South Carolina's an easier job than Rutgers. Yeah. Well, Muschamp's an idiot.
A lot of people
so,
go to
like,
Florida.
He could I mean, we already know he screwed up Florida. 90. That's a much easier job than South Carolina, and he fucked it up. Yeah. As far as names for them, I mean, they tried about every permutation. They tried, you know, Bob Diaco was the best assistant coach in the in NCAA. They tried him. He failed. He had never been a head coach before, and it didn't work out. Yes. Tyrone Willingham was obviously a weird hire because their first choice got fired within a week for lying on his resume. So, like, Tyrone Willingham was somebody they had to hire on short notice. Mm-hmm. But Tyrone Willingham was a guy who'd had some success at a high academic university. So they hired a nerd coach. That didn't work. Then they went and hired an NFL assistant. That didn't work. Now they hired a guy who's had a lot of success as a head coach in college football at lower levels. He's had the most success out of anybody they've hired since Lou Holtz, but it looks like he's not going to end up working out. So they're sort of in a position where I don't... Is Tom Herman going to be interested in Notre Dame? No, probably not. I know there's still a lot of Notre Dame people that are going to keep that... They're going to keep the candle on for Urban Meyer. You know, that is a long-time dream for Notre Dame fans that they'll one day hire Urban.
You know what?
That's not going to happen. He's not leaving Ohio State. Let's see if Gus Malzahn's on there.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think they love this crazy.
You
would have
said Gus Malzahn anywhere except your
shifting
team.
Shifting and, you know, eight shifts to throw a screen pass that goes. Yeah.
It's basically the Newt Rockne Notre Dame box, so go for it. They could hire, his name just fell out of my head, the Pitt head coach. I love that man. Why have I forgotten his
name?
Bobby
Fischer.
Former Michigan State defensive coordinator.
Yeah. Okay, but yeah,
okay, that's not his name. That's definitely not his name.
Let's just cast a Notre Dame thing.
I mean, that would be it. That would make sense because he's been a defensive coordinator in the Big Ten, major college football. He's having some success at Pitt, but not as much success as Brian Kelly had at Cincinnati.
But just to cap
although Pitt,
the Notre
although
Dame
Pitt
discussion,
isn't a better conference
I think the
than Cincinnati
fix Notre
was
Dame
time,
is going to take a. You need a new AD.
I mean that
he's going to get you into a conference. And he's going to kind of change the structure of how your football program works and operates. It may be a president, somebody. Yeah, it's going to be beyond head coach.
I don't know if a new AD is going to be able to pull that off. I think it'll have to be Swarbrick. Well, I think if anybody's able to do it, it's Swarbrick, because Swarbrick has done a very good job for a long time of increasing Notre Dame revenue. And he's a guy who's very respected at the university. I think if he really pushed for
it's
going to
take
a
structural change.
But he spent a lot of years.
You can't just put a new head coach in there
to make that happen. Yeah. For Notre Dame to be, I will say this: for Notre Dame to become a year in, year out national championship contender, they are going to have to join a conference. Period. Or sooner if they can negotiate something with NBC. You know, if they can negotiate something where
ESPN's gonna
they
love
stay
to
on NBC until the deal runs out, they can join tomorrow
ESPN's
if the ACC was willing to let them do that. If the ESPN can be guaranteed that Notre Dame will join at X year,
even upping
I could see
ACC
them being
contract,
willing to let Notre Dame keep their home games on another channel until...
Yeah.
Until the years run out.
Notre Dame, Matt. Like we said, one of the biggest.
I mean, they've already upped it once, and Notre Dame moves the needle. I mean, the Notre Dame Texas game was the most watched game of the year.
Came up.
And I don't think anything's going to end up beating it until we get to the.
Are they back? Or are they just saying hello?
Hit me with it.
And what this means is a program back? Or are they just saying hello and they're leaving in a little bit because they're not that good? And let's. Yes. We could call it Katenda Pretenda, but I like my thing. Yeah.
Are they pretenda? Yeah. Thank
you. So let's start with the first one. Tennessee. Is
That's
Tennessee back? Or are they just saying hello to the SEC East title?
I think they're just saying hello because this team still has not been able to put together four quarters. They still have not been able to say that we can play good football for four quarters. And until Tennessee does that, I don't care.
Sorry, I got distracted there. I think if you're Florida, you still like your chances of winning the East, especially if Georgia wins Saturday. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, Florida's still got a chance to make it, especially if they get healthy. I mean, they went up 21-3 on Tennessee with a backup quarterback. So it's hard for me to go here and go, oh my God, Tennessee so much better.
Are they back?
Florida wasn't even playing
them,
you know, at full strength. So
Well, they left. They had to leave because Louisville embarrassed them. They had to leave the party. I don't know if they've left. Are they
back? Yeah, I don't know if they've gone anywhere. Well, if we're saying that they ever left, then yes, they're back.
They were gone. They were gone last week. I don't know if you knew.
I question the legitimacy of saying they ever left us.
Leaves.
You people in Auburn would just love to believe that.
Yes.
Just anybody to get any major recruiting power out of the Gulf, Wisconsin. You're happy with.
Are they back? Big win last week over Michigan.
Ooh, this is a tough one. How about they looked like they were back to being Wisconsin because they ran the ball all over Michigan State. We talked about it all week last week with D'Antoni about how difficult his defense is to run the ball, how you can't run the ball on it, and by golly, if Wisconsin didn't run the ball on them.
And we'll talk about
that's very Wisconsin. I'm willing to say they're back.
Miami.
They're back to being Wisconsin.
Are they back? Or are they just saying hello?
I'm not sure yet. They're standing in the doorway. They ain't quite walked in yet. I'm not sure because they have annihilated every team on their schedule, but they ain't played nobody tough yet.
Tech's had a good run so far, though.
So they still have not played anybody tough yet.
They're like 2-1 counts. Yeah,
not this year.
Nothing counts on Thursday. I think we all know that.
Clemson pulled their pants down in front of everybody. ACC games.
I think Miami's just saying hello.
They're usually our biggest games. Thursday night is ACC night.
I think Miami's saying hello.
I think
they're
Miami,
saying we're going to be back next
year. We'll be saying they're back.
Contend for the
I'm
ACC
sure.
title. Yeah, and they might be in the championship game this year. Yeah.
I think they could get there this year. I think they can get to the championship game this year because I don't think Florida State. I mean, obviously, Louisville already showed us Florida State's defense isn't exactly excellent. I think this is the year Miami finally knocks them off after they've had a little bit of a bad run here.
Ole Miss. Are they back? Or are they just saying hello?
It's going to be Mark Richt's signature win in year
one. To being Ole Miss, not to being a contender, just to being like a 9-win team.
Well, if that's the standard, then they're probably back to that level. But I think in general, they're just saying hello because they're not.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, you beat the shit out of Georgia. Georgia's not any good. You know, you gave up all those big leads to the games that really mattered for your schedule this year that would have been a big deal for you.
Yeah, like when they run into
I still
our
think
next
if
team,
they
we're
play
gonna
another
Auburn.
Excellent team, a truly
is
excellent
the kicking
team,
game back, or is it just saying hello?
I'm not even sure if they're saying hello. I think they just stood at the. I think they just stood in the driveway.
Auburn like was
and
just going
to
wave,
ready to wave
then, like,
and
a,
then thought
a
about
bus
it. And
crashed
said, nah,
in. Auburn like flew
it,
into the park.
Walked off.
Kind of what just happened, like that.
like a bus crashed. They jumped
then,
out of
like,
the
they
way
met their
of,
wife.
Of an axle.
Yo,
they landed on a trampoline.
Through, it's a girl's
they bounced
bedroom.
Through a window.
Girl falls in love with them.
But they're covered in shards of glass.
You know, it's like when
the
Belushi
glass,
grabs
the
girl.
The glass
girls
broke,
of
and it just started like shearing off pants.
No. At the end of Animal House, when the little boys read the Playboy, and the girl crashes into his bed, and he looks up and says, "Thank you, God." That's Auburn. Auburn's a prepubescent boy who had an attractive girl fall into his bedroom.
I'm going to make
boy.
Just I'm going to make a confession to you. I've never seen Animal House.
Animal House is required viewing for listeners.
So I'm just going to take your word for it.
I'm sure all of mine are just...
I think we should play a game one
and
day.
All of
like,
mine are just
movies
like trash movies. It's like, oh, you've seen Air Bud 8?
Because
like,
my list is going to be weird as fuck.
Hey, Dan, have you seen this weird horror golf
film from Japan? Oh, Dan, have you seen Caddyshack? Nope.
Oh, boy. Sounds like you're...
Yep. Have you seen some, like, bullshit, pretentious Fritz Lang movie? Yep.
Have you seen Fast 8?
Have you ever seen Hope Floats? Nope.
No, son of a
bitch. Actually, I have seen Hope Floats. That's a great movie.
You're...
Hell no.
A lot of people would tell you to start off with the Fast and the Furious movie. Or like one of the newer ones.
I've seen the ending of the first
one. Watch the worst one, Tokyo Drift. If you don't like the franchise after that, you're never going to be a fan. Tokyo Drift, great film. It features the oldest son from Home Improvement playing a high school senior in 2007. Motherfucker.
Here's another fun fact. I've never seen an episode of Home Improvement all the way through.
Ooh. You know, and Tim Allen.
I know the guy goes, ooh, 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 ooh. Yeah, he does that, right?
There you go. Let's move on.
I do know he got busted for DUI
once. Our weekly segment. And that's
I've seen the mugshot.
Dan and Gilbert pick 'em. But we're going to get you by... I think we did better this week.
Gilbert
put
you in the poor
Let's kick off with... A lot of people are talking...
We did a little bit better this week.
This is my game of the week. Because I'm going to go on the record now. And a future reoccurring guest, Wes Destiny, hopefully you'll like this one. I like Washington to go to the playoffs. Because the biggest game of the week to me is Stanford-Washington. On Friday,
what's that got to do with Clemson?
You East Coast elitist bastard, Washington -3 home versus Stanford. Give me Washington.
So this is the game that really comes down to: do you believe Washington is really the best team in the Pac-12, or do you think it's Stanford?
Ooh.
I'm gonna go with Stanford because I know on paper Washington's got a heck of a good football team, but they ain't beat nobody, Paul. Paul, they ain't played nobody.
And Washington's gonna beat the man
and
Friday.
You gotta beat a man.
Their
you gotta
biggest
beat
game
the man
in years.
To beat a man.
This is the
they
biggest
the
game Washington has played in 5 years.
I don't know. I think Stanford's get. Look. David Shaw is going to punt the ball from the other team's 5-yard line, and then somebody's going to run out there with a roll of quarters and hit somebody in the back of the head, and then he's going to pin him. Woo!
We find out. There's not very many good games this week, except for the main events. All right, Ohio State.
This is kind of the perfect.
Yeah, and there's going to be
a perfect college football weekend though, because there's not a lot of good games.
Minnesota,
three
Penn
awesome
State
games.
Could be kind of fun.
So you don't have to divide your
you
focus.
Know, Memphis, Ole Miss.
Nobody's gonna have. Dude, that's not fun.
Something.
Don't try to humor
Memphis
Big Ten
plus,
people. That's not going to be fun.
Yeah, let's talk that one real quick.
Now that
that's
I
a big
am intrigued
game,
by.
Ole Miss Memphis.
That
is
a game
a weird
I wish
that
I was
people
at.
Kind of don't
Let
know about
that
more
way.
So with the fan bases. Ole Miss.
Oh yes.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
And -14.5.
That is a major rivalry in that part of the world. Because
and
practice,
it's pretty sad
okay,
if you can't get it.
Here's the thing: is almost everybody who goes to Memphis applied to Ole Miss first. Look, I wasn't even going to say that, but it's true. But it's one of those things where a lot of people in Memphis, like Ole Miss is the school nearby that you want to go to. If you don't get into it, you end up at the home school in Memphis. There's a ton of Ole Miss grads who live in Memphis. So you got a bunch of Memphis grads who's like, you know, coworker, their boss might have gone to Ole Miss. And whenever they play this game, you're going to walk around cocky if you beat them. And Ole Miss football history-wise is just bad enough
like Ole Miss
that Memphis has actually beaten them enough times to make it a thing. What's the? I'm taking Memphis. Memphis has been scoring a lot of points.
Yeah,
and Ole Miss's defense has had a tough time holding lead.
I think when you can't run the ball, Memphis is going to be able to keep this thing against a team who's you're not that much better than. I'm going to take the other team.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At least offensive. Like, Memphis has an offense. Their defense, Ole Miss is going to score some points, y'all. There are going to be some points.
It's 65 and a half, 66. Oh. Are we locking that up?
Take that over, baby.
Over.
Get the horn. That's my lock of the week. That's my lock of the week. The over on Ole Miss Memphis is the lock of the week.
Lock it up. Over from Dan Ford. Memphis, Ole Miss.
I want y'all to take your money. I want you to put it on the over there, and then I want you to set it aside in your savings account. I want you to drive up to Memphis. I want you to go get some Gus's fried chicken. I want you to go to that donut shop whose name I forgot. I want you to go to the big Pyramid Bass Pro Shop, buy yourself some snake boots. And then I want you to go to Flight, buy you three little bottles of wine, and get you like three little plates of like lamb testicles. And love the shit out of
Memphis rich.
Because that's what's going to happen.
As they call it.
You're going to have enough money to buy all that shit.
Going to Georgia Tech. Tech's catching 7. Give me Miami. Tease it up to 10. Yeah. All right.
Jesus. That's way too small a spread. Yeah, Miami all the way there. Georgia Tech's option offense is just discombobulated. They cannot run the ball. And if Georgia Tech can't run the ball, it's over. Because, Paul Johnson's offense usually calls for very small linemen who can cut and then get back up and who are athletic. And if they're not running the ball and they've got to drop back and pass, they've got a bunch of 6-foot-tall, 260-pound linemen. You ain't blocking nobody with 6-foot-tall, 260-pound linemen and a drop-back passing game. That's why when you watch Georgia Tech try to throw, their quarterback takes 2 steps and then rolls out to his left or right wildly and then just chucks something out of bounds.
Here's my sneaky.
They can't block anybody in pass
protection. Here's my sneaky one of the week. Georgia State's catching 18.5 going into App State. Right. Yeah. They did go to Wisconsin. Oh, you're going to take State or App State? Georgia State or App State?
I'm gonna take State there. You made a believer.
Yeah.
I'm taking Georgia State.
Yeah.
Nobody calls App State.
Applications on our phones.
They're just apps. So I'm gonna take Georgia State.
I don't know if you have those up there in North Carolina, but we couldn't use that. Yeah.
But even then, it's still app. It would still be you going to app? Like nobody would think that you're going to iTunes.
Are you sure?
No, nobody would think, are you going to live inside of Spotify?
Kind of a weird one.
No, no one would think that.
Washington State, catching 1.5 versus Oregon.
That seems like an overreaction to Oregon getting beat by Colorado.
Yeah.
Because there you're basically saying, I think Washington State is going to beat Oregon straight up. Where's that game at? If Oregon loses that game, everybody gets fired.
I think that's one you win. It's a job saver.
I mean, that's the reality, because that'd be 3 losses in a row. And
no, I mean for now.
Yeah, that's.
Okay, or like what do you call it? Vote of confidence?
I don't know if we've had one of those yet.
Yes.
We have not gotten the dreaded vote of confidence yet.
Nike guy.
I don't even know who Oregon's athletic director is, because everybody just thinks it's Phil Knight, but he doesn't have the job. The only reason that I look at that and go, Washington State might beat him, is Brady Hoke is the defensive coordinator there. Brady Hoke cannot, if you spread the field out, Brady Hoke's mind is still 1999. He is the last defensive guy who's still like, wait, just whoa, like you put four receivers ears, on the field. What the fuck do I do now?
Throws his hat down.
uncontrollably. Yeah. He just starts pooping. But it's just like raw pizza dough. It's not like regular pizza.
But yeah, who do we like?
It's very strange. Yeah. That's a game I want to stay. That is a game here. I would avoid. But if you got to take one.
Wisconsin.
Ow,
catch
it
10.5. Go it into Michigan. Lock it up. Wisconsin might win that game. It's going to be close. Closer than 10.
Well, they could win that game.
Wisconsin's a little bit better than Colorado.
Michigan could beat the shit out of him.
Yeah.
They're a little bit better than Colorado. Offensively, Colorado's probably better. Wisconsin's definitely better defensively.
Yeah. 10.5 I like a lot.
I think it'll take Wisconsin, too. Because Wisconsin has had a very good pass rush this season. And Michigan's quarterback situation, that's probably their weakest part of the offense, is the quarterback. I think they could get in a situation where they put a lot of pressure on him, and Michigan's offense just becomes 3 yards in a cloud of dust and punt.
Ooh.
And then this just becomes a punt-a-thon.
Right. Tennessee-Georgia.
And like the Georgia winner wins like 12-2.
I liked them last week. I'm going to like them again this week. I like Georgia to win this one.
Man, this is a bad team versus team that can't play, a team that's poorly coached.
Yeah.
You got one team that's got all the talent in the world and no coaching staff, and then the other team is just bad. So I don't know, man. I don't know. This is a shrug game.
Well, I know it's...
If Tennessee loses this,
If Tennessee loses this game... I know Rick's gone, but like,
offensive coordinator shouldn't get on the
bus. Get embarrassed by some team randomly, and then like come back and win, beat Tennessee and Florida, and Rick keeps his job. According to SEC patterns, Georgia should win this game. Because Tennessee kind of sucks. Georgia's better than you're giving them credit for, I think. There's enough talent there. Ooh.
Georgia's not even a top 50 team.
But they don't play.
They're not even in the top
50. That's not fair, because Tennessee never plays good.
No, Tennessee, when they're playing good, is a top 10 team, top 5 team. Well, they don't play that way. Tennessee is a top 5 team for like a quarter and a half a game.
We'll see. I like
but
Georgia.
Even then, they're still better than top 50, even when they're shitty. Like, Georgia's
we'll
just nowhere near. I don't think Georgia's even
by
in the
field goal.
I think Tennessee can play like ass and still beat Georgia by a field goal. Yeah. Tennessee had another week where they had good fumble luck, you know, where they recovered all their fumbles. It's due to happen. We're going to see a week where Tennessee loses like 6 fumbles because, by golly, they got that correction waiting on them.
Michigan State's only favored by 7 against Indiana. I know you like Indiana as a weird upset team. Weird upset teams don't beat teams after they get embarrassed. Lock it up. Michigan State -7 versus Indiana. Give me Michigan State all day.
Yeah, I lean there too, because Indiana doesn't actually ever win anything. See, the perfect Indiana game is that Indiana will go up 21-0. Michigan State will claw their way back and go up 35-21. Then Indiana will get it to 35-34, and then in the last 30 seconds give up 2 touchdowns, and then Michigan State covers. That is the quintessential Indiana game. Where if you don't watch it, you'd have no idea how insane it was. Because if you just looked at the box score, you go, "Oh, Michigan State beat them."
That's all the games
beat
for this
them,
weekend,
you know,
right?
Easily.
There's no game.
But
like
when
a,
you watch,
ABC
you're just like
o'clock.
Every emotion is felt.
I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry.
I mean, maybe
I forgot this one. I forgot. Florida.
Yeah, you forgot the mustard
slaw. -10 versus Vandy.
You forgot the mustard based slaw.
Yeah, Florida. Oh. Yeah, I like Florida there. Okay.
God. Yeah, Florida's gonna be Vandy by more than.
Here's one.
Vanderbilt Delay can't score any points.
Versus Clemson. Cardinals -2. Who would have thought Louisville would have been favored going into this game?
Do you remember years ago when Louisville used to call themselves the Ville? And they would have that branded all over their stadium and on their field? Welcome to the Ville!
Yeah.
Because now they call their stadium the Oven. Yeah, because it's Papa John's stadium. They call it the Oven.
Oh, we get some.
Oh boy. Shit, there's a cop.
Is he coming out? Can we get. Let's. You want to see what
there's
he
a cop
has?
Walking in front of my car right now. They're looking at me. Hi, police.
Office. We could have had something.
But, look, I'm really thankful for my white skin
Louisville,
right now.
-2. Go into Clemson?
Yep.
Is this right? Yeah.
Louisville's played better than Clemson this year, so I understand them being favored on the road, but... This feels like this is the week that Louisville crashes, right?
Maybe he's not good.
They can't keep scoring like 9 touchdowns a game, right?
But Jackson might be one of the most dynamic
college
football players we've ever seen.
Brent Venables is easily the
life.
Best defensive coach they've faced all year. Yeah, but he's like the most dynamic player you ever saw before this didn't score 9 touchdowns a game. Like at some point he has to have just like. Okay, yeah, he threw for 300 yards and 3 touchdowns. And then look at that and go, oh, he only threw 3?
Maybe. But
at some point, he's
going to
have a game
Louisville.
Where he doesn't put up Madden numbers, right?
And I could see this being 35-7 Clemson. But I like Louisville a lot. I really am on this bandwagon in Jackson. Like, I think Louisville could go undefeated. For the whole season. Counting postseason.
They could.
Clemson's supposed to be passé. Yeah, Louisville's favored. But it kind of.
This wouldn't be Clemsoning, though, because Louisville's too good.
Hmm.
Like, Clemsoning is. It was when, like, Clemson used to, like, lose to Wake Forest out of nowhere. Or they would just, like, get beat by Boston College, and you go, wait, what? You lost to who? You know, or Maryland used to ruin a lot of Clemson seasons. And you'd go, wait, Maryland only won 5 games this year, and one of them is Clemson. You give me an opportunity where Clemson gets points at home.
We're going to learn a lot
just
about
Jackson. Just going to take it on principle.
This is one I wouldn't bet on. Yeah.
This is his biggest test. Not saying Florida State wasn't a test,
like,
but
Florida State was
defensively
test.
Is not that
Clemson,
great this year.
You're there.
Clemson
kid.
Has talent and coaching.
Like you're elite. You're probably the best quarterback in college football.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
If he beats Clemson that way, he don't even have to beat him as bad as they. He don't have to score 80 points like they did on Florida State.
Yeah.
If he has like another if he has another 3 touchdown game, he is the Heisman.
Yeah, really. Yeah, runner up to Cody Parker.
Other than him,
but yeah,
the runner up.
I wouldn't bet on this one. I mean, I wouldn't maybe imaginarily gamble money on this one. Sorry, but please don't lose your grandma's house in this.
These picks are for entertainment purposes only.
But yeah, I'm just excited to watch this one as a fan. I hate to pull that card, but this is going to be a fun game. I want to watch 2 athletic, fun quarterbacks go at it. Yeah, fun.
Yeah, ACC football, or where SEC. The fun is.
You want to see defenses who don't know what they're doing.
If you want to see Southern kids who can actually play football, go to the ACC.
No, if you want to see defenses that have never had to see a quarterback before,
go to the SEC. They don't know what a quarterback is.
Contain quarterbacks, you're going to... Yeah.
Sure, that's
yeah, great corner.
Sure, that's the reason why. That's the reason why LSU can't throw the ball.
And Wisconsin has great.
That's the reason why.
Wisconsin's always been like an honorary SEC team, though. I think, right?
Yeah, sure. That SEC program.
Like I've met some boys from Wisconsin before.
Yeah, they drink.
We got along weirdly well, more than like me and Michigan or Ohio State fans. Like, give me a Wisconsin fan any day. I like those kids. But yeah, those are our picks for the week. Anything else that I want to bring up before we get ready? I do have an announcement for next week, but, anything you want to talk about before that? Yeah. Well, he'll be on game day in a year.
I'm going to miss Les Miles. I'm going to miss him. He was a weirdo. He'll be the new course. He's a real weirdo. Okay. Yeah.
Ooh, no, I get rid of Corso.
Do you think he'll be on game day, or do you think he'll be on the studio show?
That's the perfect replacement for, are you kidding me? Miles is the perfect Corso.
You can't get rid of Corso. Corso's there until he dies.
Well, you poison his drink or something.
But you can't get rid of, you cannot get rid of Corso until he's ready to drop
dead. What do they do to Holtz? Yeah, I don't, is he dead? What do they do with him? They throw him, like, in a locker, or...
Lou Holtz is already gone.
Yeah, can do that. We'll move Corso to studio.
They just they pushed him out the door and replaced him with Mac Brown. But no, but you can't do that with Corso. Corso's been there since the beginning.
How about this? Like Lou Holtz, get rid of Coin.
Like the studio show where they're in Bristol, that thing has always rotated.
What if we get Coin's Howard off?
I mean, anything that gets Mac Brown, anything that gets rid of Mac Brown, I'm fine with.
And I know we're getting rid of the, we can't really do that, but still. Can't get rid of the black guy, but. He's gonna love it. He's gonna be eating grass.
But you can't put Les out there with the
Yeah,
students.
He's gonna love it.
Oh yeah, you can. Yeah, Les would love that. Les would love being next to the student.
Ooh, and that rhymes. Les
what if you replace Sam Ponder Les with Les and you made Les wear a dress?
I like that. I think trans Les Miles is the
Yes, I know.
Well,
in honor of Pride Week here in Chapel Hill, Carrboro.
Wasn't there just a David Brooks column complaining about
there's lots of flags. ESPN I don't really understand all of them, but hey, I support it.
Against us and everything? Well, there you go, ESPN. Here's your chance to really push it. Throw this. Yeah, go.
Yep. Anytime you can say fuck you, David Brooks.
He wrote that article about Kaepernick where he's fuck told you black people David why Brooks. Not to
I don't even
protest.
Know if he's done anything to deserve it, but fuck him.
So, I don't know if you read that one. It was really good. No one likes David Brooks. I don't know how he's still with the New York Times.
Even conservative people.
Like, he's with the biggest newspaper in the country, pretty much. And
like nobody likes that guy. And he's the laziest guy in the world. I mean, yeah, if I was a right-wing guy, I'd probably be pissed off that the New York Times right-winger is the laziest hack in the world.
And then he had, like, multiple quotes. No, there's nobody. We need to break down a David Brooks column one day on this show.
Yeah, I don't know if anybody edits his stuff.
Yeah, Brooks is kind of the
Tom Friedman was like the guy everybody made fun of on the internet?
I had to read a Friedman book in college for a business class. I was not very happy about it.
Yeah, nobody makes fun of Friedman anymore.
It was on like globalism. It was for like an IT class.
Like who? What?
Yes.
Oh man.
Yes.
I don't want to go to that school.
I didn't
read
it.
Oh, did you have to read The Earth is Flat?
I wasn't going to read that trash.
Oh my God, you poor bastard.
Sorry, school I went to. But yeah, any last things?
The Spark notes were probably better written.
But can I go into a little announcement here?
Then Because, like, his pro is famously bad.
NFL coverage. It's coming. We're going to have former guest.
Go for it.
Wes Destiny Lilman. I forgot which name he went with. One or the other. It'll be like a 10 to 15 minute segment. Just me and him breaking down the NFL from the past week. If we can get him on for sure, we're going to do it. Should be a lot of fun. We're gonna pick some games. We're not going to pick all the NFL games. We'll probably pick like 5 or 6. Kind of go through and like, here are our picks for the week. We'll recap stuff. Should be fun, though. Nice little element added. Any plugs, though, before we get out of here?
Yep. Obviously, the Champions at Heart podcast. You can still find us at Fire Pro Podcast. Week we started our Hall of Fame NFL discussions. Who should be in?
The NASCAR.
What do we think of Sting? What do we think of? What do we think of Mexico?
I wouldn't put in Tony Stewart. He killed a guy. You can have a guy who killed people in your Hall of Fame, right? Oh boy.
You may not want to look at that Wikipedia.
This is wrestling. They've all killed somebody.
There's more than one guy who's killed a guy in the Observer.
Even the ones you love, people. If you had a favorite wrestler, he's probably a bad person. Sorry. I'll plug my Twitter account.
It don't make you a bad person.
At Ann Coulter.
Just don't defend him, especially online.
You'll see a lot of good takes from me. Or you can follow me on my alternate account at Zachary T. Gilbert.
Oh boy.
Where I just had a pretty good tweet. So not gonna brag. Yeah. There's a good one out there. Yeah, there's a good one. Go find it.
I had a good one. I just discovered at Parliament, which is somebody takes takes tweets by drill. And then superimposes them over pictures of English politicians. Man, it's perfect.
Because they're English.
I don't know what it is, but like English politicians are so much more pathetic looking than ours.
Mm-mm.
I think it's just in general, the English do not value physical attractiveness the same way Americans do. Which in some ways, I guess, is a good quality because it means they're less superficial.
Just okay, but here's my fuck like, you of the week. It wasn't
man,
David
they
Rose,
have some ugly
one.
Motherfuckers.
Fuck you, England,
in
your inbred genetics. You're all pretty ugly, except the pretty ones, and I hate you because you're even more handsome because of your dumb accent. Yeah.
Well, it's not that there's not pretty people in England. There's plenty of beautiful people in England. It's just, weirdly, you don't have to be pretty to get on television there. You don't have to be pretty to be a famous person. You can look like, you know, a malformed foot and still get on television there and be like a TV star.
But,
I guess it's a good thing. It's pretty cool. But, like, they considered Tony, like, during the 90s, when it was like Tony Blair was there and Bill Clinton was here, and Bill Clinton is legitimately a sexy motherfucker. I think we can all agree. But they were like, ooh, Tony Blair's our sexy prime minister, just like Bill Clinton. It's like, no! Tony Blair's it looks like a fucking rat had sex with a mutated nuclear disaster fucking thing. He looks like he fucked the goddamn Toxic Avenger.
Okay.
A
so
rat
we're gonna bring
fucked
this
the Toxic
Tony
Avenger,
Blair.
And then we got Tony Blair.
Not a future guest of the podcast. But next week.
I mean, maybe he likes being made fun of for his appearance.
Yeah. But next week, we're going to recap all the biggest games in college. We're going to go back to the moon next week. So be ready. We're going to go back, figure out some football on the moon. I got something maybe.
Probably.
So we'll see what happens this week.
Yep.
Yes, is it third? I just saw a giant ball
of
lightning,
and
I'm
scared.
That's
all if we don't get hit by lightning
and
tonight.
I know I'm on my iPad recording, and I like still have that thing my mom used to tell me in my head, like you can't hold anything electronic when it lightnings because it'll just explode in your hand. Ooh, that'd That's we weren't that
okay.
Dumb.
Here's one no. for you. When I was a kid,
my mom like we couldn't
like,
take a shower.
The lightning will find
when the lightning
you.
Was on because it would everybody come through quiet. And kill you. I don't believe that. That sounds. That's not.
Well, yeah, that's well. No, you shouldn't. Like that's actual. That's actual truth.
But the pipes are underground.
Yes, it is. Like electricity will travel through your pipes and through the water. Well, no. But once it hits your house and it the lightning
we'll
goes
see.
Around and it hits. I mean, that's look that up on Snopes. That's true. Look that
I'm
up
not a
on PolitiFact.
We'll see about that. I'm gonna go take a shower.
Check that motherfucker.
If I make it to next week.
The lightning in the shower thing is real.
Where's lightning?
Oh God! See, now you're playing with fire.
I guess I'm not a scientist. Maybe we'll get the
Stingray
Steve.
Is it lightning
Steve
just
on
like
one day
condensed fire?
Lightning to us. No, and have you read?
Lightning's one of those things
you read
that
about
even
the guy
scientists
who's gotten
don't
struck
fully
by lightning
like it's
six
all guessing,
times in his life.
Like, we don't.
If I can get it in the show notes for the website, I'll send a Wikipedia link to it, and we might discuss him next week. Actually, we might do that. That's a segment. Yeah. So yeah,
I love it.
We'll discuss.
I mean,
some
Rick
people.
Rick Flair
we're gonna research next week.
Rick Flair
we're gonna
got
take
hit by
about
lightning.
10 minutes.
That's one of my favorite Rick Flair
people
interviews.
Have been struck by lightning. Yeah. Slowly but surely, we're getting
it's gonna
away
turn
from
into
football
stuff
this
you
podcast.
Should have learned
just
in
wait
history
for the
class.
Just wait for the election episode, people. It's coming in a month. When Coughlin finds
wait for
out
that.
That we're not alive.
Wait for that when Coughlin fires us. Yeah. When Coughlin ever discovers our Brexit episode. He's not just gonna fire.
And quick, we gotta talk MMA. Cyborg, she hit somebody.
Like physically assault us.
That was MMA.
Yeah. Plug for the Champions
of
Our podcast.
Stuff,
I spent like
10 minutes
screaming
probably,
at Cyborg and how shitty she is. So check that
better.
Out, guys. Go to halfguarded.com. Yeah, it's probably better. But I will say I was I just started
that's
screaming.
It for me.
So that if you enjoy that, check it out.
Yeah. So
I'm good. So you know, there's only one thing we can do, and that's get out of the fucking rain, get out of the lightning, and just play some music, Jason.